Hello, I'm Dr. Steve Showalter, your host for Science Elements, a digest of cutting-edge research from the American Chemical Society, the world's largest scientific society. Long after the score is forgotten and the beer, soda, and chips have gone stale, the most memorable moment of this year's Super Bowl probably won't be the game. Instead, it will be a television ad featuring the rough and rugged faces of some of the hardest working people on Earth, American farmers. About 4.6 million Americans live and work on farms and ranches. In all, 22 million American workers produce, process, sell, and trade the nation's food and fiber. That's about 6 times more workers than are employed in the U.S. automotive industry. In 1940, a typical farmer grew enough food to feed 19 other people. Today, an average American farmer produces enough food to feed 155 of us, and he or she does it using less land, less water, and less energy than their ancestors. Yet even this may not be enough. Some estimates suggest that to keep up with population growth, farmers will have to produce more food in the next 5 decades than has been harvested in the past 10,000 years combined. Add in growing worries about food safety and you quickly realize we're facing quite a quandary. In this episode, we take a look at some of the emerging concerns down on the farm and what scientists are doing to address them. So in the next few minutes, you'll hear about why changes in farm practices probably have nothing to do with the increased incidence of a common health problem, why governments should consider limits on mold toxins in food, and finally, how tiny particles used in manufacturing could adversely affect the harvest of a key food crop. About 1 in 150 Americans have celiac disease, an autoimmune condition that causes antibodies to attack and damage the intestine. Symptoms are triggered in patients by eating gluten, a protein found in grains, wheat, barley, and rye. Some researchers have suggested that celiac disease is on the rise for a number of reasons, including changes in farming practices. But according to a new analysis by a scientist in California, there is no clear evidence to support the idea that celiac disease is increasing in prevalence because farmers are growing strains of wheat that contain more gluten. His report appears in the Journal of Agricultural and Food Chemistry, a weekly ACS publication. Donald Casarda cites evidence that the incidence of celiac disease increased during the second half of the 20th century. Some estimates indicate that the disease is 4 times more common today. Nobody knows why the disease is increasing. One leading explanation suggests that it results from wheat breeding that led to production of wheat varieties containing higher levels of gluten. Casarda's perspective article examines the scientific evidence for that hypothesis and found that gluten levels in various varieties have changed little on average since the 1920s. However, overall gluten consumption has increased due to other factors. For instance, a consumption of a food additive termed vital gluten has tripled since 1977. Vital gluten is a food additive made from wheat flour. It's added to various food products to improve their texture and other characteristics. Casarda also notes that overall consumption of wheat flour also has increased. On average, people in 2000 consumed 2.9 pounds more gluten annually than in 1970. That represents nearly a 25% increase. Scientists in Italy conclude that government limits on mold toxins present naturally in grain crops should be expanded. They say these limits should include so-called masked mycotoxins, the change from harmless to potentially harmful forms in the body. Their first-of-its-kind report appears in Chemical Research and Toxicology, a monthly ACS journal. Chiara Dall'Asta and colleagues explain that molds growing naturally on wheat, corn, and other plants produce toxic substances termed mycotoxins. Some health experts regard mycotoxins as greater potential health threat than pesticides and insecticides. Government regulations limit levels of mycotoxins that are permissible in food and animal feed. Plants protect themselves by binding or conjugating glucose, sulfur, or other substances to the mycotoxin, producing conjugated mycotoxins that are not harmful. Dall'Asta explains that these masked mycotoxins are not included in current safety regulations because of uncertainty about what happens when people and animals eat them. His new study focused on two of the most widespread mycotoxin contaminations of grain crops, deoxynivalenol and zearalenone. The results show for the first time that bacteria present in the large intestine in people unmask these two compounds releasing the original toxic forms. For this reason, Dall'Asta says, masked mycotoxin should be considered when evaluating exposure to humans. In our final story this week, scientists discover potentially harmful effects of nanoparticles on America's second most popular crop. In the first study of its kind, scientists in Texas say two of the most widely used nanoparticles accumulate in soybeans in ways that could potentially have adverse effects on crop yields and nutritional quality. Their finding appears in ACS Nano, a monthly society publication. Jorge Gardia Torres de and colleagues note that zinc oxide and cerium dioxide are among today's most widely used nanoparticles. Both are used in cosmetics, lotions, sunscreens, and other products. After usage, many of these nanoparticles wind up in the sewage sludge that some farmers apply to crops as fertilizer. In previous work, Gardia Torres de found that soybean plants grown in a water and nutrient solution without soil accumulated zinc and cerium dioxide in ways that alter plant growth and could have health implications. However, it was unclear whether such accumulation would occur in the real world where farmers grow soybeans in soil instead of a nutrient solution. Other important questions included determining the relationship between soybean plants and nanoparticles, figuring out how these nanoparticles enter the food chain, and assessing the toxicity and the possible persistence of these products into the next generation of soybeans. In their new study, the researchers found out that cerium dioxide nanoparticles in soil can be taken up by food crops and are not chemically modified within soybeans. Based on this finding, the researchers suspect that cerium dioxide nanoparticles can reach the food chain in the next soybean plant generation with potential health implications. The researchers note that this study is the first report on the presence of cerium dioxide and zinc compounds in the edible portions of soybeans grown in farm soil. Well, that's all for now. I'm Dr. Steve Showalter for the American Chemical Society. Science Elements is adapted for podcasts from ACS Press Releases and the ACS Weekly Press Packs. To access this week's Press Pack, February 13th, 2013, go to www.acs.org/pressroom. From all of us at Science Elements, thanks for listening.